Can dating apps travel worldwide? Find out. It's time for Jet Theory Radio. Live from the ATX, welcome to Jet Theory Radio. It's episode number 6. I am David, but you may know me better as the one they call Jetter. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to us this week. We are going to be having a great discussion with our friend Bo this week. Bo.
What's up, Bo. Guys? Hi, Bo.
Hey.
Hey.
Love you guys.
As always, the man joining us on the left, Mr. Gail Murren.
I am the Shady Justice, Jetter's voice of reason. Which has become clear.
Reason? Reason?
Because
I am looking for reason.
He can't even find himself.
Where is reason? Reason is, up Gail's ass. Okay, good. Thank you for that. Thank you for that wonderful intro there, Gail. I see you're splashing the brain atoms in your head with a certain malty-ish kind of beverage.
Oh,
hoppy-ish,
huh?
Maybe? Hop?
No.
Hop malt? What do we got?
Actually, I'm back with the infamous... The sweep the leg because I like my peanut butter chocolate stout.
Oh, see, I thought you were doing it simply because.
Never heard of such a saying.
Oh, yeah. It's sweep the leg.
Go,
I said no. They put peanut butter and beer.
Kind
on.
Of cheesy Asian sunset with sweep the leg. Mm-hmm. Clearly referencing maybe Mortal Kombat, but not too hard.
That's not Mortal Kombat.
They don't want to get sued.
Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg. It's got Cobra Kai on the side. That is a total Karate Kid reference.
Okay, well,
that's
maybe it's Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm. Cobra Kai, do or
it
die.
It doesn't matter. It's just sweep it. Everybody knows sweep the leg.
True.
They chose why. We're going to bring somebody on to figure out why they chose it to be a peanut butter chocolate stout.
That would be interesting. I'd be interested in hearing.
Don't know why sweep the leg references peanut butter, chocolate, and stout.
Because it's something kids go for, and thus the name of the Karate Kid that they took it from.
Oh, you're saying kids like Reese's Pieces?
Yeah, E.T.?
Yeah.
80s, okay. Motherfucker. But enough of that shenanigans.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet.
Yeah.
I know nothing about that.
Jetter just got aged.
Aged, yeah. Yeah, I'm a...
So did I. Aged myself.
Yeah, you did.
You young-aged yourself.
Stop aging yourself. Stop aging yourself. Somebody just smacked you in the face with a glove of some kind or your own hand.
Watch. Maybe that makes me grow faster.
That reminds me. Are you of the age young enough where Power Rangers was a thing?
Yes.
So you're excited for the movie coming up?
Nope. Didn't watch it. My parents didn't let me watch it, and then I watched it like 15 years later, mm-hmm. and I was just amazed at how cheesy and horribly made it was.
Oh yeah.
Kind of like laughed at it for about 30 seconds. Like, well, I'm glad that wasn't part of my childhood, and moved on, and didn't really think about it past that point.
You know, shortly after I was finished live-tweeting all of Saved by the Bell on Twitter, you live-tweet on Twitter, duh. After I watched all the episodes with that, I was so very close to doing the same thing with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So very close. But that would have probably damaged me more than Saved by the Bell did.
What, watching it?
Both. Watching it and, like, trying to critique it and, like, keep track of things.
Yeah, don't think too much.
Yeah.
There's not much thinking going on the whole show.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been hearing his voice, so... Bo, thank you for joining with us this week. We've got a lot to talk about, and you know what? We've already sort of splashed a little bit in the areas, but I know one thing you did want to talk about. You're fresh from traveling the world.
Sorta. About like a 6-hour flight to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How was it over there?
It was interesting. It was like England, but quieter and more country. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of like the country bumpkin-y part of Europe, I guess, from what I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very green. Same accents that you've heard stereotyped all mm-hmm. the time. Drive it on the left. Cloudy, yeah. Raining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's some beautiful old architecture there. Mm-hmm. It's just really kind of like the best part of the country just out in the countryside, where it's mm-hmm. nice and quaint. Little towns tucked mm-hmm. away in the little mountains and everything.
Little, so, like, taverns and stuff like that going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, like, the Irish pub thing that people mimic here. Like, it's every single bar is that same kind of architecture, that same kind of layout, same kind of menu. Like, seriously, mm-hmm. like, it's surprising how accurate it is.
Is it? Yeah, so wow. did you So yeah. You had more like the authentic, like straight from the kitchen kind of like food and beverage over there and the experience.
The best experiences were like, honestly, like going to like in Dublin, like other countries' cuisine. Like if I got like Asian food there, it was really, really good. I got American food there, it was terrible. Like they just, I don't know how you don't know how to do American food. Don't you just like dump potatoes in a fryer and then you're done?
Well, there's that, and you got to put a bunch of sugars, a bunch of salts, a bunch of oils on it. Like, that's American food. Get good greasiness.
It had to have been made with all those preservatives in there in the first place.
Yeah
they probably can't even use half the stuff that we use in our food. That's probably why it tastes different.
Well, yeah, because there's such a closer distance there to the farm. Like, I'm sure it's a lot more like farm to table, like authentic stuff, just made from scratch.
Yeah.
None of that really like most freezer, like McDonald's. Like,
most of the country is a farm, pretty much. No, actually, I went to the first place I ate because I actually flew in. And I got in like around noon and I hadn't eaten like 20 hours. I just wanted food.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into this double story McDonald's in Dublin. It's actually like people hang out at a McDonald's in Ireland. It's weird. Like people don't want to be caught dead in a McDonald's in America.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to Dublin, it's just like everybody between the age of like 17 and 24 there is just like
sort of like
eating
a
food. And it wasn't even that bad.
Like a Steak and Shake kind of diner, Denny's kind of atmosphere.
It was kind of like the atmosphere of just like a fast casual place here, but loud, like more loud music and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It's like maybe the way like a fast food restaurant is in a big city,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, it's like walk up service and everything. And it's just kind of crowded, but the food was actually not half bad. It was like, I didn't feel like crap afterwards. I didn't regret it.
So was there any special, like thinking about McDonald's, the special menu items, like I think of overseas, I immediately think of Pulp Fiction and a Royale with cheese. Any special local treats of McDonald's over there?
I didn't really notice that. Wasn't looking for it. I just kind of went for my standard. I went for like chicken McNuggets.
They
screwed it up for me because they don't have ranch.
Oh,
the ranch does not exist in Ireland, or at least they call it something else. I don't recognize if they have it.
Okay.
And I didn't want to it's a really busy McDonald's. I didn't want to be the guy who's like holding up the line. It's just like, do you have this thing in a foreign country?
So
I just
what kind
ordered
of sauce
ketchup.
Dips did they have?
They just had like the standard, like honey mustard, like ketchup, and barbecue.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just didn't have ranch for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Maybe ranch is not a thing in Ireland.
Disappointing.
If it's not, yeah. they should
definitely figure that out soon.
Yep. I mean, they have cows, mm-hmm. they have butter, and they have all of the herbs necessary.
You also need, probably
isn't
be
it like
than
a
ranch.
You need mayo seasoning.
I think it is like a mayo base.
And, like some sort of like milk kind of thing goes in there.
Yeah. Why I said cow.
Yeah.
Some kind
of, like,
some
it's
kind
not
of
like
spice.
It's not like 2% milk kind of thing. I think it's a different, like it's a buttermilk kind of thing maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what the buttermilk.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Buttermilk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Butter, milk, butter, 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 milk, milk, butter, butter, milk, milk, milk. I don't know. I'm just going crazy.
So do they really drink as much Guinness as we think they do?
It's hard to tell because I didn't really talk to many people other than people I already knew that came with me and mm-hmm. I was at the bar. A lot of people were drinking Guinness. Okay. I don't know if they were necessarily Irish people. There were a lot of Americans because this is St. Patrick's Day week.
Oh.
Yes. So a lot of people traveled over there explicitly so they could get totally fucked up plastered.
Mm-hmm.
So do they realize that the Irish don't really have the same concept St. Patty's Day?
I was going to say, I saw...
I realized it. Like, I knew it couldn't be the same, and it had to be lampooned by Americans because we like to overblow everything and make
Correct.
Every holiday have to be about drinking some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
For them, it's like Thanksgiving Day parade here. That was their St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin.
I was going to say, I saw your Snapchats, and you were just like, it's just like a family gathering. Family
Minus
get
that
together.
One bro-y dude thing that I put on, like, my Facebook with, like, dudes in shamrock suits, like, singing Winter Wonderland of all songs, and, like, heavy Irish accents directly behind me. Everything else is just, like, parents and their children just watching a parade.
Yeah, so for them...
And then, like, they went out to the pub and got a couple drinks. And, like, actually, my buddies from home, from Michigan, flew in that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we met up and we went out to the bars. And we actually found this really cool Irish pub. Like, there's, like, this main district that they call the Temple Bar District where everybody goes. Mm-hmm. And it's just super touristy, super crowded. And, like, if you want a good bar experience, just avoid it.
Yeah.
Most of the American tourists were going there. We went a couple blocks away to another bar. I don't remember what the name of it was. It was just like, you know, a regular bar. Like, a couple people were dancing. There was some nice, like, reasonably loud, but not too loud. You can hear yourself think music. Like, you could actually get served at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't filling up. And we wondered why. Well, we left to go to another bar, and we talked to the guy at the door. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm trying to keep out all the American assholes. So when I see a top hat or I see shamrock glasses, I just tell him you're not getting let in here. And we were all just up like normal people, so we got let in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Irish people don't like dealing with the whole like American version of St. Paddy's Day.
Well, that because there's an actual celebration, so they take St. Patrick seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That he is a saint. It is a more religious situation.
It's a very religious country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so
wait, is that why it's Irish Catholic?
Well, that's
no.
Hey, that's why there's also Irish Protestant.
Ah, okay.
Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The IRA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, no, it's a more religious thing. So it's where I could see it could be more like a Thanksgiving Day,
mm-hmm.
where it is a family celebration.
Yeah. It's actually like a federal holiday there. Everybody has it off and goes and watches the parade in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only thing really to do, like, on just in general in Ireland? Was that all your goal was during the trip, or...?
My goal was really to kind of just, like, go around the outskirts of the country and kind of see the beauty of it mm-hmm. all. Because, actually, one of my coworkers has been to Ireland several times and has family there. Like, mm-hmm. he's driven around the country mm-hmm. himself. And, like, he told me, like, oh, go to the Ring of Kerry. It's gorgeous. And it's, like, deep southwest Ireland.
What's that?
It's, like, Lord of the Rings scenery, basically, that you can drive through. It's just, like, little Irish towns. It's just like mountains, like literally rising out of the sea, like 2,000 feet, and you just have a little road on the side. And the roads in Ireland are seriously like barely even the width of your car, and they make them opposing two ways mm-hmm. at 60 miles an hour, and they put like stone walls this high on either side. I'm not exaggerating. Like, there's no shoulder. So basically, it's like pay attention this whole time, or you might not make it to your next place you're gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
It was like some of the most fun driving ever that I've ever had.
So you drove?
Yes, I drove.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
because it's windy and.
It's so fun. Yeah. I recommend it. Driving the wrong side of the road in a mountainous place. It's thrilling. It wasn't scary. It was thrilling.
If you had a motorcycle, it would have been one hell of a trip.
Oh, yeah. It would have been one fucking trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you would have fit in the lanes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the weather like in Ireland? Is it typically, like, nice year-round? Well, no. You were describing it earlier, but how cold was it there when you went?
50s.
50s?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It rained only one day, like, during the parade. The rest of it was, like... It would alternate between, like, clouds and rain and, like, kind of sun all within one day. It's, like, it was really changeable.
It's a temperate climate, but it's not as dramatic temperate.
Yeah.
As, say, like, what we all came from.
It's like Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the west coast of Ireland is really, really rainy, though. Like, when I went to, like, Galway, it's, like, it was just, like, getting washed with rain. And, like, when I was doing, like, Ring of Kerry, like, there's all the mountains, all the... water comes off of the ocean right there and just hits the mountains and it just turns into fog. So like you turn a corner and all of a sudden you'd be in like super, super thick fog. Like I couldn't see you across the table. Wow. And I'm driving in this.
Yeah.
And then you turn a corner and all of a sudden like because you weren't at the right angle, like all of a sudden just clears right up.
Mm-hmm.
So you just like depending on which direction you were driving, you get really, really, really foggy or like just kind of normal.
Yeah, I can see where it's a daredevil kind of trip driving then.
It didn't feel daredevil, though. Like, I felt very, like, safe just because, like, by then I've been driving for, like, 5 or 6 hours by the time I got there.
No, oh,
okay. It's in the opposite end of the country from Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, by then, like, I'm used to driving the other side of the road. I'm used to, like, their thin roads and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not weird anymore. Mm-hmm. If it's, like, I went right into that, it probably would have been, like, oh, my God, why am I doing this to myself? This is a terrible idea.
So did you go north at all?
I wanted to, but I ran out of time.
Okay.
I did want to cross into Northern Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's different up there.
You been?
No. But it's I would say it's not as friendly to tourism.
So it's a good idea to go.
Not as friendly to tourism. Mm-hmm. Is that a polite way of masking an ulterior thing that you wanted to say?
Well, there might be a little bit of a conflict going on.
A conflict in Northern Ireland? What happens if I just... I've got to Google this up right now.
It's not as bad as it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's clear because when we were growing up in the 80s and 90s, you were hearing about the bombings. You were hearing about this and that
in
Northern Ireland. I mean, that's where my memories were... terrorism, or the word used, really first came from that. Oh, these Northern Ireland peasants were terrorizing the countryside, and blah 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 blah. Which we look at terrorism now, and it's they weren't; they were just attacking and defending themselves at times. You know, there was no blowing themselves up. I mean, there were bombs and stuff like that. That's where it really came from. And then we took the personal strap bomb concept to terrorism, and that's way worse. But
yeah,
but that's it has calmed down. I know, I believe there is a peace agreement in place at this moment in time, and I believe it is holding.
It didn't sound like it, because I think I asked a little bit about it from my what would you call it, Airbnb host. Mm-hmm. I had talked to her a little bit about politics in Ireland, and it seemed like it was way calmer. She's like, yeah, you can go visit Northern Ireland. It's no big deal. She didn't make it seem like it was like going to be any problem to do. I just didn't get along
then,
to
Yeah, yeah, then that peace accord is...
But maybe it's just relativity where it seems better. Maybe it's not really totally great.
Yeah, and it may not be... I'm sure there's still picturesque parts, especially along the course. The northern coast is, if you saw that, the cliffs.
Oh, yeah, I saw the cliffs on the western coast, the cliffs are lower, yeah.
Yeah, the northern cliffs are even more dramatic.
Wow, they misled me. I should have went that way.
But at the same time, it's colder. They're also, I don't know if there's accessible. Let's put it that way. Because there is more of that crag spire out there style. Your small little crag rock spire coming up out of the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 400 yards out there. And then there's another one over here and over here. So there's like little things. It's not very drivable and climb out of.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get out there.
Yeah, Western Ireland was totally drivable.
Yeah. So, but then again, there's also, I have to remember the name of the bay up there. Because, you know, Ireland does the thing, and then it does this weird
little tip of the top. Yeah.
So all Gail's doing, really, if you're listening in, is he's just waving his finger up into the air and, like, doing this thing, spinning it around.
He's just, you know, Ireland for all of you.
Yeah. So it paints a really clear picture in your head.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he drew.
It looks like an mitt.
It looks like a country of Ireland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ireland looks like Ireland.
It also looks like an oven mitt.
Mm-hmm.
With two fingers. I admit for a guy who got really badly burned.
You said the Airbnb there. So not opting for a hotel or anything like that. What was the Airbnb like? Just like what you would normally expect out of an Airbnb, or was there anything like?
The host was awesome and the space was awesome. It was actually right in central Dublin, and it was like a mid 19th century row house. And I got the attic. The attic was 5 feet tall, but I mean that in all the best possible ways. It was just like a little bed on the floor, like a twin bed, and like it was just like. Like the 70s, like wood paneling over the whole thing, like on the ceiling and the walls. And it just felt like this really cool attic apartment. Like I couldn't really stand up, but like I went up like a double spiral staircase, opened a trap door, and there I was.
Just for that experience, to like walking into it, you're just like, oh, it doesn't matter what's on the other side of this. It's going to be great.
There was a skylight. Like it was a cool place. Like $60 a night, like highly recommend it. Don't go to a hotel. Go to an Airbnb. Like that's the way to go.
What's like the exchange rate there? For it, did you have to?
It's $1.10 per euro.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty
using
equal.
The euro.
Yeah.
Euro. Mm-hmm. Okay. Huh.
Yeah. Traveling to Europe right now is good because the exchange rates are all kind of somewhat equal to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I was in the U.K. last fall, it was like $1.20 or something like that. Like it's way better than it's historically been.
Mm-hmm. Well, just give it some time and see how. The whole Brexit thing happens with how much that's going to affect everything over there. I
might be better here.
It could be. Who knows? It's funny. Like if I was going to travel anywhere, it'd be like in the UK in the Ireland region, like especially like over there. You finally found a picture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brought up a Google topographical map.
Oh, the lake in here.
Yeah, but it's first of all, the lake. Yeah. Gorgeous lake. You got that bay. You have the Bay of actual Belfast in there. The Bay of Belfast.
So wait, did your family come from Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
So you've been.
Way, way long ago. Like, I'm already four generations into America.
No, yeah.
So
I'm surprised you're even in touch with your family. Like I'm like I think four, five, maybe six generations in from Ireland.
Yeah, we know,
we have no idea who's there.
Four to five in, and then it gets difficult. Record-wise, after that, to figure it out.
Yeah, so. I'm a total mutt. Like, my family came over from, like, Ireland, Poland, Germany, Scotland, and, like, we have no ties to anything. Like, I'm just bunch of random nationalities at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or just, it does, it's the point, it's like, eh, it's whatever.
Yeah, I'm just American.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a little bit lucky, the fact that, I guess, within the Murren line, there's been a bunch of boys in every generation. So, the Murren name itself came, and there actually is a Murrensville, Pennsylvania, that you can track my family back to.
That's pretty cool.
So, Hugh Murren that opened a church in Murrensville, Pennsylvania. So, but then after that, it starts getting, like, where did he come from, and how long was he there? It seems as though he came over, and he may have planted the seed in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he came from Ireland, or but it's hard. That's where it gets difficult. That's where the jump and all that gets a little bit different. All I know is that my last name, technically in Irish, is actually Moraine. Oh, Moraine?
Yeah, it's weird pronouncing Irish words. Yeah. Like, you know, like all the signs are in Irish. Mm-hmm. There. It's like you have no idea what they're saying. You try to read them like you would in English. It sounds nothing like how they actually do at all.
So was it very common then for people just to talk in English then?
Yeah, vast majority of people did. Okay. Vast majority. There were a few times I heard Irish because, like, you just, like, recognize this language you knew was foreign, but you hadn't heard it. Like, it was generally the big ones. Like, you'd hear, like, German occasionally or, like, French or Polish or something you could kind of recognize. And you hear, like, some really weird language you'd never hear anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And that was usually Irish.
Ah.
And that's, like, mainly in the country you'd hear it, like, every, like, 20 people or so, someone would be speaking it.
Really thick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say so. And one of the weird things that they do when I was over there, I noticed that the Irish people drop their R's, their H's from a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they won't say three, they'll say tree. Instead of saying thong, they'll say tong. Like, it's just, they'll do things like that, I've noticed. Like, the weird thing, the Irish accent, I didn't know existed before I was there.
Just like in Boston, they say ah instead of ah.
Mm-hmm.
Or are, like, you park, or you pack.
Yeah, you can totally hear, like, where, like, the Boston accent comes from, it's going to Ireland. You absolutely
not
can.
Not an R, it's an A.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's, everything has their little, that makes sense if they Irish drop the T, they drop the R.
Yeah.
You're Irish. Drop your R. Irish.
Ash. Very close to arse.
Arse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of hard to understand what they're saying at first.
Mm-hmm.
It is. When you hear like a true Irish accent, and you're trying to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there was something I had written down.
How far into Dublin were you? Is Dublin very old and cobblestoney?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a smaller, grittier version of London, if I had to give it like a comparison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised by how gritty it was.
Got you. Okay. Is it gritty because just old, or just doesn't seem like the economy is booming?
The second one. There are areas that were nice, but like a lot of central Dublin, like it wasn't unsafe. It was just like not the most well-kept buildings.
Yeah, and that's what I had heard. I mean, we know that Ireland had been hurting for a while. Mm-hmm. But they had that scandal where, I can't even remember, they had some kind of financial scandal.
I mean, besides,
they got called out by other nations for doing something that was a little bit on the iffy side. It's like a little bit of manipulation. I forget what it was, but... but yeah, no, this has been for a while that Ireland's trying to build. I mean, they don't have Guinness is not an export you can build a country on.
No, but they definitely try. That's like their biggest tourist attraction is the Guinness storehouse.
Mm-hmm. So tourism is a big deal there. I mean, tourism brings in a lot of money. Especially so, yes, this time of year. Say they hate the Americans.
But they also give them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They need the money. So they'll take the money.
Well, money talks, bullshit walks.
Mm-hmm.
Which then surprises me, like, if that's the thing, if they're concerned about their image, why not do more then, I guess, to protect that image and to make it seem more touristy friendly? But I guess if you got the main strip that people go to and, you know, hey, hit all these bars,
yeah, it basically combines them to that one spot, and I think they're fine with that. Like, the Irish people, I feel like they don't like to go there. Just like, that's for everybody else. And there's pubs like on any corner, anywhere throughout any town.
Isn't there some? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw this like on a Netflix thing. There's some like challenge, like beer challenge. Like you start at one end, and then you got to work your way totally down the street and across the way, stopping at every pub along the way and having like a drink at each one.
Is that an Irish thing or just like a thing?
That's a thing, like in that touristy kind of place for Americans and all that fun stuff.
I'd believe it. I didn't hear of it. But I mean, it sounds like something somebody would make up.
Mm-hmm. So how long were you there? Not just a few days there for...
Seven. Actually, seven? No, I was there for, yeah, 7 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you flew back. Where'd you fly through?
Mm-hmm. Newark, New Jersey.
Newark.
Yes.
How fun was the Joysy?
I'm pretty convinced I saw the worst part of the state and stayed in the worst part of the state. If you want me to be objective, it wasn't a good spot.
So
the armpit of the armpit.
This is where, this is okay. Where we're going to differ. Cause I was recently in Jersey on a tour. The southern part of the state was entirely different. Like it wasn't, people might've been, I mean, Jersey's
they're
not,
bristly.
Yeah. Bristly is a nice word. That's a nice way to describe it. Yeah. I went to a place called Vito's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds so Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I got slices of pizza that were, I want to say, for the crowd at home, I want to say 10 inches long and about 6 inches wide. And it was a single slice.
So you bought pizzas.
But it's a chicken marsala pizza. There was also a baked ziti.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this place has been on multiple little food channel things for their stuff. I mean, they got more going on. It's giant subs.
So you went the more, like, high-class kind of, like, good food kind of areas.
Oh, no, I wouldn't call it.
Or not high-class. This is a better grade.
This is very Jersey food?
Yeah.
This is classic Jersey. It was not, like, something super expensive.
What town were you in Jersey?
We were in the area of...
You're like outside Philly somewhere?
Yeah, just outside Philly in southern Jersey. Where do we play? I'm actually mind blanking on that right now.
Mm. I don't remember. I just remember probably seeing not like all the updates with New Jersey.
We played 20 minutes outside of Philly.
Probably not Camden because you're saying nice things about it.
No. We did not go... So we did not go north into the more industrial area of New Jersey, which I have been to too. I've been to New York and all that stuff. So it's a very different atmosphere. There's still not a lot of open area, but there are, it seems more small towny in the way it's put together.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's little division of town thing over here, little division of town thing over here, you know, and like maybe a field or two in between, you know,
yeah.
That style, but it's not like big building, industrial.
Yeah, that's where I was. Yeah. I was in this place called Irvington, which is like directly west of Newark.
Mm-hmm.
And I booked it because I was just like trying to save money at the end of my trip. And I realized I had like a 17-hour layover and I hadn't booked a hotel for it. I was like, oh, America's best value in, $45 free shuttle. Sure. I'd never heard of Irvington before. Mm-hmm. It took me the bus, like, you know, got me off. And like we got off in this residential neighborhood that looked like a normal neighborhood. So I thought I was at an okay place. Then I checked into my hotel and I saw bulletproof glass over the window. I'm like, that's not normal. But I was like, but I'm going to go to Manhattan this afternoon. And there's a bus terminal like a block away. I looked up on Google Maps. I'm like, I don't really care, whatever. I'll only be here for a day.
Yeah.
I walked to that bus terminal and I realized exactly why that bulletproof glass is there. It's Ooh. Just like one of those neighborhoods where there's steel shutters on every single business all the way down the street. Mm-hmm. And there's just some very thuggy people on the bus trying to fight each other. It was not safe. It was not safe. It reminded me a little bit of Detroit, a little bit, where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just kind of mind my business and just kind of, like, bided my time. Just like on the bus till I got to Manhattan.
Bus is going, you're just sitting there, and you're just like, la, 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 la.
So how's Manhattan doing?
Mm-hmm.
Manhattan's doing way better than Jersey was.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, at least that part of Jersey. Jersey got nicer when it got closer to Manhattan.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it always does, yeah. What'd you do?
I was only there for 3 hours. I just like kind of like walked around, went to like the 9/11 memorial. I went to get some New York style pizza at this little mm-hmm. corner place. It was just like a hole in the wall. It was like selling Indian food and pizza.
Yeah.
Hey.
Of course, I picked the pizza because I'm in New York City. How can you not?
Oh, yeah.
I did that. Yeah. You know, like walked through Times Square, took the subway.
Like comparatively to what Gail was describing earlier, size of the pizza.
Oh, the size of the pizza was not as ridiculous as you had, but like, I bought 3 slices and it was probably about the size of 6 normal slices.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, selling it by the slice, it was only like now, $5. Now, three slices, not bad.
Did you eat it properly?
No, I didn't. I ate it like a Michigan person would, just shoving it into my mouth.
You don't normal do the dimensions. Fold and like bite in?
I did not fold in.
Better that than a fork and
knife. Did you eat it
in
a seat or did you eat it at a counter?
At a seat.
Okay, so that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Philly with a cheesesteak.
Eat it at the counter?
Oh, you eat it at the counter. You put you got a moat. You got to put your elbows on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Got your cheesesteak. And you eat it standing up. I mean, we know this from Chicago, too. They do that with hot dogs a lot, too. Mm-hmm. But you go to a corner place in Chicago. Do you eat your hot dog sitting down or do you eat it at a counter?
I want to say the only time I've really had a hot dog in Chicago has been during a Cubs game, so...
Well, then, I guess.
You're in a seat.
Yeah, I'm seated, so...
Well, hopefully you were standing because they were winning.
This was about 10 years ago, so...
No, they were not.
the one time I think I did see them winning at a home game... Oh, wait, we were there. It was the bachelor party.
Yeah, I called
that. Bachelor party years ago. Where we
called
were
shot.
We were with some friends, and it... was like the Cubs were losing. They were down by like 2 or 3 or something like that.
Yeah, it was 2 runs.
2 runs. And half of the group left because they're like, oh, we're going to go to the bar. They're going to lose, whatever. We'll just meet you guys at the bar. We're like, okay, cool. We're going to sit and watch here and sit until the end of the game because we're Cubs fans. That's what you do as a Cubs fan.
Yeah, the Bachelor stayed too.
Mm-hmm. Sure
what
enough.
Happened
bottom of the ninth.
Tied.
2-run homer.
Happy Bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom of the 10th.
Kicking it off.
Yep.
Single run homer. Win the game.
Yeah. Boom. And they wouldn't let you in if you left after like the 8th inning, I think, is the policy. They don't let you back in, no matter if you've got tickets for that game or anything. You left the building, sorry, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
we were standing there. A couple rows closer, if I remember.
Because some people left and they thought they were going to lose.
I also, if we could ever find like the television broadcast of the game, there was a shot of me with our friend. He looked like a hillbilly. I looked like just a super nerd. And we were just sitting next to each other. And there was a camera shot of the two of us.
Weren't you sitting next to
That I was, but I wasn't going to mention names.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's probably going to listen to this.
He is? If he remembers it, I took it to the person who we might have mentioned, because I'll probably edit out the name. I took that picture of the two of us, and I had it framed just for you and me. Love you.
Were you holding hands?
No, he was looking one way, I was looking the other.
Oh, okay.
Nothing, anything too serious.
Okay.
Like Chicago with the dogs and stuff like that. Is there any food in Austin that would be like Austin's food? Because there's a lot of trailer parks.
Hipster tacos.
Hipster tacos? That would be the Austin food?
Yes. I mean...
Any taco that's like tries to fuse like Asian food with like a Philly cheesesteak, that's totally... that's Austin.
See, that's good. That's
so
because it's good melt.
Yes,
it's a good melting pot of just like
Austin's
all
a melting
the
pot
different
of everything in America. So they just try to mash things together to make everybody feel like home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm trying to think. Like even the first Austin food I had here was
Franklin's Barbecue.
The Detroit
Via 313.
What was that? The pizza.
Via 313.
I think that was it. Mm-hmm. It was the first food I had here in Austin.
Yeah,
it
tastes just like the real thing, spoken by a Detroiter.
Ah, okay. I didn't know. I just remember when I had it, it was really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was hilarious because I probably shouldn't have ate it if I was using common sense. First, like I took a trip down and I visited Austin vacation here before I decided to move down here, and so we're out with everybody. And I'm like, oh, I got to get some food, And Gail and everybody was telling me, oh, just wait until we get out because there's going to be food trucks everywhere. You can get whatever, literally whatever you want. And so I was in a bar. We had just ordered drinks. And, like, this guy comes up. And he's like, hey, you guys want some pizza? And we're like, okay. And he's like, we just ordered too much. We have all this extra. It's good stuff. Please take it because we're not going to take it home with us.
That could be sketchy.
That's
wrong
what I thought.
Guy.
But I was like, I'm on vacation. Even if it is got something in it, I don't have to. I think I had to like catch a flight the next mid-afternoon or something. Exactly. So I was like, let's try this. I tried it, and it was really good. So I can't, you know, sometimes you just take that leap of faith.
So being a Detroiter, what makes a Detroit-style pizza a Detroit-style pizza.
It's like very, very thick, doughy pizza. Mm-hmm. Comes in a square, crispy edges, and like they kind of like co-mingle the toppings and like the cheese and the mm-hmm. sauce all in one layer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like really like there's just two layers to it. One's like, one is the bread, one is everything else.
So it's not like a Chicago-style deep dish kind of thing where it's got the sauce, the sauce, the cheese, like all that layered. It's all just thrown on there at once.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, here's your bread, and then they just put everything on mm-hmm. there. Just
I will say,
do its thing.
I like the square style, like that kind of, that was awesome.
Yeah, the places up there, like they'll always have them in like pizzas of four,
mm-hmm.
usually, because that'll give you like, that gives you crust on every single corner. Everybody yeah. can get a corner because like a lot of people are just freaks about getting like the crispy part of every pizza. So like some people love it more than anything else because it's like the crispiest pizza.
Like that old school, at least where I remember old school, I'm sure they still have it, but Pizza Hut personal pan pizza
mm-hmm.
style. Yeah. Yeah, they do cut it into a triangle, but it's, and I guess it's a circle, but it's thick doughy with that crispy crust
mm-hmm.
and it's, there's always a crust no matter where you go.
The yeah. personal pan pizza or the like the kind of pizza you would get for the Book It program. That was like a little like personal pan
yeah,
style,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
still a circle thing. The mm-hmm. same kind of like consistency there, like really thick and just really light on the toppings and stuff like that. I was a Book nut as a kid, so I got a bunch of Book It pizza. It was great. I tell you what, let's one other thing I wanted to get into.
Okay.
Harsh transition to something else. Movie related.
About time.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're gonna get into a little bit of battle here. I like how it's okay. become a thing here with the podcast where we just each pick a thing from a subject and then just sort of fight it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get into a little bit with cult classic films. We'll go around and just each pick one that we like, you know, whatever personal experience or anything like that with it, what it means to us. Or just the fact that we enjoy it because it is what it is. Whatever that reason be. Present it and then fight it out to see which one's the cultiest or classiest. I don't know, however that works. Cultiest?
Cult classic. The mm-hmm. two words work together very well, but separately very poorly.
Yeah.
Cultiest.
yeah.
Cultist and classy?
Yeah.
Whichever applies.
Whichever one is more true to the definition of cult classic. Fair?
Fair.
All right.
I mean, if you change the words to classic cult,
that's a completely different thing.
All classic cults are bad.
Go downhill
quickly. Some would call that early religious studies.
True.
Because be it what you think about religions, all religion is in the simplest sense.
Or Scientology.
Yeah, it's a really successful cult.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's your movie?
5,000 Steps, yay. The movie I want to go with, and I think it's more of a modern cult classic that will stick, is going to be Office Space.
Oh, yes.
The reason for it, everybody's seen it, but it failed at the box office. It had, its second life was more through the slow, gradual rise of, like, viewers and people who saw it through word of mouth and just, like, here you go, you got to see this, here you go, you got to see this. It has a lot of recognizable characters that if you start quoting them, you know, like Red Stapler, Red Swingline Stapler didn't exist at all until years after that movie got released, and then they created it. If that's not something that is showing a slow build over time that has an audience, and you either have people that watch it, that love it, or that don't like it at all.
Who doesn't like it?
I don't know.
People
I haven't met these people.
People that are wrong.
I will say one.
People that are wrong.
One thing that I remember specifically about it afterwards is I got to watch it in like this college class, and the professor, after showing it to everybody, he's like, "You guys didn't really laugh as much as I expected. Like, it seems to have gotten less laughs this year with you guys. Why have you guys seen? Like, tell me what I did wrong so I could teach better." And we were all like, "We've seen it hundreds of times, and frankly, we just took the time to take a nap because you know we just watch it with our friends. We enjoy it that way." Sitting in a room with a bunch of strangers that we barely know wasn't the fun thing to do. But we all knew it from beginning to end. So
it's interesting that, of course, you first picks the movie filmed in Austin.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Well, hey, that might score me some points for the people listening in Austin.
Yeah.
It's also probably going to be the most relatable of all the movies that are picked. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably. Anybody who's worked in an office has probably also worked at a bad office. Okay. It's like Office Space.
So let's go ahead and just go continue with the picks, and we'll battle it out then here in a few.
So what's your pick, Bo?
So my pick, as I was talking to Jenna about this, it's got to be The Room.
Mm-hmm.
This movie that was this guy, presumably from Poland, from everything that I've been able to piece together, but he never confirms it. He came over to the U.S. and he made a fashion and God knows what. And he put all his money into making a movie where he directed it, he acted the main role, he wrote the script, everything himself. He's bad at all these things.
Yes.
He also hired all the actors. They're also bad at all these things. Mm-hmm. So every single last thing in the movie is done about as wrong as you can do in a movie. So it's just great to get together and watch with people because it's sheer shittiness. It's just hilarious if you like watching just total train wrecks happen. If it's not your thing, then it'll be a total miss. But if you do like to watch train wrecks happen, it's about the greatest thing you could watch.
That was, from what I remember, we'll get into that there. Mr. Murren, always last, what's your pick?
Well, my pick's pretty simple here. It is the movie that has kind of created its own festival series across America. So I'm going with The Big Lebowski as a also more modern, but has created its own group of people, just like any other, like Trekkies and all that. There's Lebowskis,
mm-hmm.
and
isn't there like the cult of the dude?
Yep.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Austin has an event here. There's plenty of other events all around America. There's been documentaries made about the events
mm-hmm.
that have happened because of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. What's our battle going forwards?
Towards whichever one is going to be like, what would the definite that is the definition of a cult classic?
Oh, that is
more,
the definition.
Yeah,
okay,
more
okay,
so
okay.
over than the others.
So my thing there is it's the following that it has created.
Okay.
It will exist in people for so many years to come and just never be forgotten. I mean, the festivals themselves will go. I mean, Trekkieism is still going.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how about Lebowskiism?
Trekkieism?
That's a
word. They call themselves Trekkie. I didn't.
Trekkies.
Star Trek people.
Yeah, like I don't like is if Trekkieism is a thing, that'd be like more that to me would be more religious with it. I see where you're going with it, but
I mean, those people are almost religious with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like you meet the people that are all about Big Lebowski, and it almost becomes that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I just for a quick recap on all the IMDb pages, I think like the little blurbs like about this movie, what it's about, is really interesting for each of these. For Lebowski, it says the dude Lebowski, mistaken for a millionaire Lebowski, seeks restitution for his ruined rug and enlists his bowling buddies to help get it.
Yeah,
what a plot.
For The Room. Johnny is a successful banker who lives happily in a San Francisco townhouse with his fiancée, Lisa.
That's it.
He was tearing him apart.
This says it. Oh, my God.
No, it doesn't say that. I just added that there. But he's in a San Francisco townhouse with his fiancée, Lisa. One day, inexplicably, she gets bored of him and decides to seduce Johnny's best friend, Mark. From there, nothing will be the same again. And then Office Space.
And it wasn't.
Office Space is just one line. Three company workers who hate their jobs decide to rebel against their greedy boss.
Well put.
Yeah. So, I like the simplicity of Office Space in that description there, but The Room, it made me laugh more just because I always, like, I watched a lot of, like, YouTube videos and stuff like that, where they're like the 10 best or the 10 worst of movies and stuff like that. And The Room appears on that a lot just for being such a bad movie. And the one line that always sticks out is, "Lisa, you're tearing me apart!"
So bad.
So bad.
Right.
It's just one of those great movies. It's like all dialogue is terrible, but also mundane. So you can insert it into any situation in any day in life. Like, whenever, like, there's just certain points in the movie where Tommy, Johnny, whatever they call him in there, just says, Johnny, "Well, that's live."
The writer and director, his name is Tommy.
So anything goes wrong, you just be with people like, "Well, that's live." Like, quoting The Room. It's like the people that are on the inside, they know, but everybody else, it's just a normal thing. You just like drop room lines everywhere, nuggets in the conversation. Most people that watch will pick it up, but most normal people won't.
And I feel like you do that about all of our movies.
Yeah.
The quote dropping. Mm-hmm. Although, I think mine has influenced popular culture more than any other of the movies, because there's Out of Your Element.
Shut up, Donnie. Nobody cares what you think.
Yep.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
There's Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Nobody messes with the Jesus. There was talk a while of them doing a spinoff or a prequel movie with him.
I'm so glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. Like, I don't think with any of these you could really do a sequel to.
No, and I think that's a part of its culture.
They need to stand alone.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the one thing we didn't nail in our picks, that none of these movies, I mean, where do you go? They kind of wrap themselves up in ways. Maybe mine would be the most likely to go on, because where do they go from there? But, I mean, there's no more Donnie. Spoiler alert. I guess if you could call it a spoiler. If you haven't seen Big Lebowski, it's your own fault.
Donnie dies. Pretty much any of these movies, if you haven't seen them.
The Room's trying to kind of do a sequel, not really. There's a book that was written by the guy who plays Mark, who actually is in real life friends with Tommy Wiseau, the guy who directed the movie. He plays Johnny, the deranged, I don't know what he is. That's the protagonist of the movie, but still not really a hero. Everything's confused. Yeah. But he wrote a book about the making of the movie and his friendship with Tommy. And it's being made into a movie called The Masterpiece. And James Franco is actually playing Tommy Wiseau in the movie. And Seth Rogen, I think, is playing Mark.
Oh, of course.
So, it premiered at South by Southwest last week. I'm pretty sure it did. It's a legitimate theater release. The big dollars going into it.
So basically, I mean, in a way it's a spin-off. In a way it's also kind of
it's own thing.
A mockumentary of
it. Yeah, like a mockumentary, yeah.
If you get a mockumentary made about your B classic, that's pretty big deal.
C-classic if you're lucky.
Yeah, I will say the poster or the cover art that they have for The Room is just Tommy's face,
It's a very very messed up face.
Yeah,
it's the masterpiece. If you look that up, is the same poster, but it's James Franco making the really bad Tommy face.
Big Lebowski's got the dude and John Goodman's character right up there, and then Office Space has just got the guy in a suit made of post-it notes.
I have the best soundtrack.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Does Office Space have a... Office Space, it has gangster rap. Office Space is pretty good, actually, for being ironic.
But, I mean, it goes up and down.
Because, damn, it feels good to be a gangster. I mean, anybody who's ever...
All the Ghetto Boys tracks on that. Yeah. The one where they're beating up the copier?
Yeah.
That other one? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
That's one of the most classic moments.
No Michael Bolton, though.
There's no Michael Moore.
No.
I feel like they could have put it in there once. That's one thing they didn't do.
It might have cost them more at the time to do it. Because all these movies are relatively low-budget movies.
Yeah.
There's also Michael Bolton wasn't that old anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he didn't go to Pound Me in the Ass jail.
Pound Me in the Brain Ass prison. It's a mat of conclusions that you jump to.
Now it's they make fun of it in the movie, but it's an actual product now. I've seen it here and there. There is the jump to conclusions, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Between the red swing line staper, I think Office Space probably has more merchandise that you can make off the movie. That would be more collector items.
True.
Yeah.
But the only thing, if Big Lebowski made a rug and
over.
Is there an rug. I'm pretty sure somebody would have made an unofficial rug right about now.
Oh, I'm sure there's an unofficial rug out there.
You know what? I'll say this. I'm pretty sure there's been more white Russians drank in the dude's honor than any other alcoholic beverage.
And most people would drink a white Russian if or that's even why they're doing it.
A Caucasian. You know what a Caucasian is?
What's that?
Just in case you don't have Kahlua, you put in the Baileys.
So it's whiter?
Yeah.
Baileys is Irish.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Oh.
The one thing that the room's got going for it is that it's got the midnight showings everybody goes to. The other two don't have. People just go and they just watch the movie and just there's
big quote alongs.
Yeah. The room has that, but to a bigger extreme. Like
okay. I think our two movies, you and me, I think our two movies are probably ones that are more expensive to get in theaters right now, where the room you could probably get
for nothing.
Yeah. Really cheap. True.
Nothing at all.
It's very true. Mm-hmm. I mean, ours are clearly well known cult classics.
Mm-hmm.
The Room is a lesser known one, but clearly, because it is harder to watch, The Room is harder.
Yeah, you have to be the proper type of person. You guys have good movies. I have a bad movie.
Here we go. How many times do you think you've seen your movie?
20, perhaps.
Okay. Do you own it on any kind of...
Got a DVD.
DVD?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, Lebowski, what do you got?
Yeah, but on accident, I mean... The number of times I've seen it myself is probably in the 20 or 30 range.
Mm-hmm.
But by accident on TV, because you were flipping around to this or that, and it showed up on the wonderful TNT,
mm-hmm.
or it was on HBO this or that, you know, not HBO, but probably HBO 2 or HBO something West.
Yeah.
You know, some off HBO channel, like the fourth or fifth HBO channel down.
HBO so Encore West Coast Edition.
Yes.
Yes.
Or Stars Encore, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, some deep down channel all of a sudden has Big Lebowski on. Mm-hmm. And then you start watching it and then you see the quotes and before you know it, the movie's over. Because you've sat down and watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the watchability of mine is hard to take away. Because you sit down to it and boom. What were y'all's... Can I bring up some... What were y'all's B choices? Did you have a B choice? Because I had a B choice. I was fighting between two choices.
It'd probably
my
be...
other one's even more modern.
Depends on what you call a cult classic.
With what we're defining here, my other one was going to be probably leaning towards Monty Python to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be the backup. That or Rocky Horror. Something that built its audience up like over time and all that wasn't popular when it came out.
Yeah, so
yeah, Rocky Horror is a bizarre movie.
Mine
yeah.
is a brand, is a newer one that's still building. I feel, or can be built, because I've known people that have, like, well, what's that movie? So my secondary pick was going to be Grandma's Boy. And you go,
No, like, I go, because it just, it's, I see where you're coming from.
But I didn't even know that movie came out until 3 years after it came out, and I saw it, and I was like, yes.
I mean, if you want to do that, then I could easily say Waiting is a cult classic that matches Office
Space.
Yeah,
no, I would agree.
That would outdo Grandma's Boy. Because Grandma's Boy is still more that stoner kind of movie, and that's more of a genre movie than it is a cult classic.
And you're saying cult classics aren't really genres?
I'm saying it's a genre unto itself.
Okay. I disagree.
But they're made as something else and become cult classics over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't just purposely make a cult classic.
Yeah.
That's up to the people decide.
Yeah, exactly. The cult classic is something your audience basically decides for you. I mean, would you consider any of the Evil Dead's cult classics at this point?
The first one?
Yeah, I would too.
And I would say it was a fine cult classic until they did the remake movie, which was a good movie in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
that outshined the original one. It was a more...
It's scary. The remake was kind of horrifying, actually.
Which is good. Yeah. I liked it.
It stepped it up a notch.
But then again, Evil Dead would already be disqualified because it had a sequel to it. And cult classics really can't have that sequel.
True, but I mean, then it was almost like that entire sequel system was almost a cult classic. I mean, it was Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and then Army of Darkness. They all kind of fed it, that you might as well just throw them all out there as the cult classic. Like, none of them were, like, huge in popularity. None of them have giant releases. Mm-hmm. But how many of us saw those?
Yeah.
See, so... I mean, I wouldn't say see. All of us, I guess, didn't have sequels. So, I mean, it's up to that. What you feel the cult classic versus B-movie. So what's your difference there? What's your difference in definition?
I kind of think they're sort of equivalent.
Yeah. See, that's where I'm thinking,
too. Like, they get popular even though, like, the cast has no big names, really, or anything. They just somehow get popular and carry through time and have this devout following of people who just love it and can quote it and watch it over and over again. That's what a cult classic is to me.
Yeah.
Like Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, here's interesting. Because we're trying to
James
define what
here,
a...
by the way.
We're trying to define what a cult classic is. I just did a Google search for cult classic movies just to see what would pop up on that end. And it's interesting what Google has defined. They got Rocky Horror. Big Lebowski's actually the second one there.
Yeah! Woo! Winner chicken dinner!
You win this battle.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that one. Donnie Darko?
Oh, we didn't really mention, but yeah, that kind of falls in there, yeah.
A Clockwork Orange.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that's considered a cult classic.
Well, there was no remake. There's none of that. When it came out, it changed the culture. But it also wasn't a giant release. It was something people saw.
It was right after...
Everything we're talking about, it was Solver Time. It was not a giant, like...
But it's by Stanley Kubrick. Right after he did 2001. Like the time period it came out and was released, and it was based on the book. I mean, it was really popular. I'm surprised that's considered one.
But
like,
it wasn't because of the graphic nature of it, and people knew that, they didn't go and see it.
The next one is Clerks.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. It also has sequels. Mm-hmm. Ah, so there goes our sequel.
Was the sequel many years later, though, kind of to capitalize off the cult thing, or
kind
was
of,
it?
Yeah.
So I feel that doesn't count. Well, like if you did 10 years later.
The characters kept going from movie to movie.
True.
Jay and Silent Bob were in
each one.
Yeah. The next one, The Room.
Boom.
Oh.
Yeah. So I really would have been...
Mm-hmm. Office Space is
a Do you make the list?
Yeah.
Do you make the list at all?
You gotta make the list.
Okay.
The next one, which I actually like, The Warriors.
Yeah.
Warriors, come out and play.
Haven't seen it.
That's a really good... See, I like that movie because one of the things I really... enjoy is pieces that are more fit for their time, and that's a movie that you couldn't make today. The idea is that you have all these different gangs, and they're not gangs in like what you would think the modern sense of the word gangs is. They all dress up in like these ridiculous costumes, like kind of gangs, and they go out and sort of like a Clockwork Orange kind of thing, they rule the streets. Well, the big leader gathers everybody up together. And they're like, we've got to, like, make peace and stuff like that. What's he say? Can you dig it? Like, that's a line from The Warriors. Then he gets shot, and the Warriors are that's the gang that gets blamed for shooting the guy. So they got to run back to their home before everybody else goes after them. And it's made in 1979, and it looks like it's made in 1979. The way it's shot, the way it's filmed, the way the characters are, it's very straightforward, and it just... They got to run. The attitudes and everything. It's phenomenal. Eraserhead was next.
Okay.
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah. Okay.
Blade Runner.
What?
Yeah.
Not that surprised.
Not that surprised there on that one. Not at all. But I mean, it really it led to cult classic because. Its ideal behind it, maybe.
It never got a sequel.
Yeah,
it's true.
It did.
It did.
Trailer was released just a little while ago for it.
How many years later?
But it's a sequel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in theory, but...
Maybe it's just capitalizing off, like, now people know what Blade Runner is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that it is.
Now they can cash out on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that doesn't really count as the sequel theory.
I will say, even looking down the list here, Evil Dead's also on this list.
Yeah. But Blade Runner, I would say, because it... People didn't like it. I mean, it was very...
It's very dark.
Well, you had all the different, like, cuts to it.
Well, they also... Like... Yeah. It was... So there's... Yeah. So that... I mean, I think that goes into a cult classic. Was there a director's cut involved? And what was the real cut? Because then, I mean, clearly the director wanted one thing and the studio wanted something else. Mm-hmm. And that kind of comes into a big deal with cult classic.
You know, you can't say the same thing about Blade Runner that you can for the next one, Repo Man.
I remember that movie came out. Didn't watch it. Yeah. I heard it was very, very weird.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome movie.
And then Office Space hits.
Yay. What number are you?
Yeah, it's not 10, numbered. Right? It's just like,
okay. Oh, it's just right, whatever.
Yeah, I'm just reading down. Like, all these images just came up of like, oh, it's going to be this one. Yeah, so it's in there. Then Evil Dead. And then one that I should have picked, Fight Club. It's considered a cult classic.
Yeah. How'd that come in that far down the list?
That's kind of weird. Yeah,
ahead of some, like behind some movies I haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of surprising none of us brought that one to the table.
Mm-hmm. Harold and Maude.
Mm-hmm.
Barbarella.
Yeah, Barbarella.
Princess Bride.
Yeah,
yeah, that's one.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
My name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Yep.
Mockumentary.
Pink Flamingos, I have not seen.
No, I haven't seen that one
either. Neither.
Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
In fact, it's kind of like a cult classic's almost unfair, though, because it was such a huge movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a classic at that point, isn't it?
That's a good point.
Where do you hit classic? Does that mean that Big Lebowski was also a very huge movie at the time?
It's weird because, like... There seems to be a consistent thing that we're surprised about. It's when it's a major director, a very stylized version of that director's ability to, like Clerks was, that's a Kevin Smith movie through and through. Like, nobody else could make that movie. Blade Runner, that's a Ridley Scott film. Like, nobody else
could be seen. Harrison Ford in it, big actor.
Pulp Fiction, that is, like, a Quentin Tarantino movie. Lebowski is the Coen Brothers movie. I mean, that it just comes across as that style of movie, like, I'm surprised that that's considered.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you, referencing Google, I just put in definition of a cult classic. Okay. What Google feels is a cult classic. Something, typically a movie or book, that is popular or fashionable among a particular group or section of society. I have a quote. Fans of this cult classic will be thrilled to see it in its original widescreen version.
I still don't see Pulp Fiction fitting under that.
Yeah. Well,
it's Tarantino, like an everybody movie.
Tarantino.
But it's like all his movies are so popular. It's like it transcends being in that, I feel.
I kind of agree there.
I would say the same for Office Space.
No, I mean, yes and no.
Mike Judge's not quite on the same level.
Yeah. I mean, the Coen brothers are close.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a couple duds. But, yeah, that's where I felt Big Lebowski was maybe a little bit. If it wasn't for its festivals and its whole society behind it, I think it would have been disqualified.
All the Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness are both also on this list as I'm scrolling through. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Sure, yeah.
Agree on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was one I'd be more surprised about.
Well, why? I mean, it's like a movie totally outside of anything that was made like it before then. Mm-hmm. And clearly it didn't have some...
still is like its own thing.
Yeah. It's no one... I mean...
I guess in a weird way, like, I saw it as a kid, so to me it came across more as a kid's movie, even though there are definitely more like adult kind of things going on there.
You see different things at different times
that's
in your
part
life.
That's a cult classic, isn't
it? That's a Tim Burton movie, but I wouldn't like see that. Yeah. See,
wow, I didn't
that's,
know that
that's
at
to
all.
My point. I wouldn't think that as like being a movie that like if I'm a Tim Burton fan.
That was before
fan,
like the big movies that Tim Burton made came out, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was way back. It's like a 30-year-old movie.
Oh, he did Batman after this. I want to say.
Yes.
And that's when he really came into his style. What was Burton's first film?
Oh, it was Burton. Wasn't Burton doing the
Edward Scissorhands?
Scissorhands was in the 90s at some
Burton
point.
Burton did Claymation before that, right?
No, because Nightmare Before Christmas was after he became popular because
that
of,
was what I was.
No,
they
no,
only
no,
switched
no,
to
no,
definitely
no. Nightmare
these
Before
movies.
Christmas was a throwback to his original.
But his original was a short.
How he became a director.
But that was just the because that was the Frankenweenie thing.
Yeah,
that was it. Was a short of that was the first one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we've got IMDb right here. I'm just going to say Tim Burton. I want to say Edward Scissorhands. Before I hit enter, I want to say Edward Scissorhands was his first movie.
This movie, I feel like, was before that.
Pee-wee's?
Pee-wee. I feel like Pee-wee's before Scissorhands.
Before Scissorhands.
Tim Burton, born in 58... Down. He's known for Edward Scissorhands, Corpse Bride, Batman Returns, and Ed Wood. Producer on a lot of stuff. Beetlejuice 2. Well, that'll be coming through.
He would
director
be the
credits.
Guy.
He's got 38 director credits.
Mm-hmm.
Going down to the bottom. The Island of Dr. Gore. Okay, let me skip past all the shorts because there's a ton of that. First movie was a TV movie, Hansel and Gretel. Pee-wee's Big Adventure was the first movie.
Yeah.
Before Edward Scissorhands.
Then Beetlejuice, nice. Batman, Edward Scissorhands.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
And I knew that. The only reason I knew Edward Scissorhands was way behind is the time frame of Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp did not get popular before the Batman movies. Johnny Depp wasn't a thing.
He was 21 Jump Street. He was popular there on TV.
21 Jump Street.
That was a TV show before it was a movie?
Oh, yeah.
That was happening.
Like, that's
the
why
same
he like made his cameo premiere in the actual movie.
Yeah.
That's what made like the funny thing about
it. Yeah, that was happening. That was
besides
happening
how comical it was, the way he died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. trying to think. Showgirls was a popular one on here. They Live, I would consider that a cult classic.
Isn't Showgirls supposed to be a really terrible movie? Like, it's like watched for that same reason.
Oh, yeah.
Is it like grown or terrible, or is it?
Oh, it's awful.
Like, would you watch it multiple times?
No.
And it's terrible. Or it's just like you put it on, you're just like, wow, that was bad. I'll never do that again.
Yeah. It just.
There might be a section of society that loves to watch it.
I have not met this section of society.
Well, there might be a little bit perverted.
Mm-hmm. True. Oh, here you go. I wonder why they want to see it post. Post Saved by the Bell, Elizabeth Berkley.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. True Romance is on here.
Yeah, definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Monty Python.
Of course.
Belongs there.
Night of the Living Dead as well as Dawn of the Dead.
Yep.
What about Shaun of the Dead? Is that on there?
Not yet. Bottle Rocket.
Yeah,
that's a Wes Anderson film.
Well, it's also the Wilson brothers' first movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's totally a thing.
Yep.
Bottle Rock is a. Have you seen Bottle Rocket, Bo?
Mm-mm.
It's one you definitely have to catch.
But
is this just knowing Wes Anderson films? Like it just
Wes
like
Anderson,
like everything
the
he's
Wilson
ever made
brothers,
is a cult.
It's it's weird. It's off the wall. It's yeah. It's definitely a cult classic. Mm-hmm.
Anything that he made just can kind of fit under that umbrella, as far as
yep.
I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
He just has like this massive following of like hipster movie watchers that love.
What's our favorite Wes Anderson film?
I like Grand Budapest Hotel.
See, mine is. I'm gonna have to go. Life Aquatic.
I'm a Rushmore guy.
Okay.
Just
so
because
we got Aquatic
mm-hmm.
here, we got a Rushmore. And we got a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
Zizou.
Probably like...
Although I do like Zizou a lot. That's a really fun one.
it's probably more of his better ones. Like, Bottle Rocket to me would be a close second. I think that was really like one of the first independent movies I watched on my own. And like, seeked out to find it after seeing Rushmore.
I did not enjoy.
I feel like that one like fits in there more because it's like his first movie. It's like before he got to be a big director.
That's more than Pulp Fiction. Yeah, mm-hmm. Reservoir Dogs. I mean, Mr. Pink.
Why I gotta be pink?
Because I said so.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's got the original.
So it's got a ridiculous following. I mean, when we talk about a section of society.
But it has Gene Wilder.
And during the time, he was more popular of an actor.
Oh, in the 70s.
Yeah.
It kept its... I mean, people probably called that their favorite movie for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we say that Google definition of a section of society, there were people talking about Willy Wonka a long time. I mean, they made an actual candy bar out of it. Recently, there has been a promotion for Golden Tickets. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Yeah. It's still a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's a question to
take a moment to step back and look at this list. At what point does a cult classic grow enough of an audience, or like the audience that it didn't aim... The audience it was aiming for that was probably a young audience at first, was grown up and have kids of their own and show it to them. When's that popularity... make it not a cult classic? Because I would almost argue that Willy Wonka is old enough and has been around enough and is ingrained enough in the culture.
When you start seeing the sequels.
Or remakes.
Yeah.
So in that case, thank you, Tim Burton. He remade that one. He remade that to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Meaning Evil Dead kind of falls off that list now.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi?
Yeah, Sam.
I guess.
Became enough of a director now that he remade that.
Thank you, Spider-Man.
Yeah. What are other ones?
I guess Blade Runner falls off the list if they're doing a sequel now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also Blade Runner was before its time, and now it's becoming relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Like the discussion of Blade Runner. And so the people now understand that discussion quite thoroughly. I mean, what is AI? Like back... In the early 80s. Yeah, it was in its beginning stages, and now we are there.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, it's even set like in the year like 2019 or something. Exactly. And, like, now it's now
82.
Maybe they're doing it.
Yeah. 82 for Blade Runner originally came out.
So, anything like that, like our movies that we talked about haven't made it there yet. As much as we want to say it, there's probably never going to be an Office Space thing. There probably will never be a Big Lebowski, although they might try someday. I mean, they tried. The other one I would say, a cult classic, it's not on that list, and I don't know why it's not on that list, Blues Brothers.
Didn't they get a sequel, though?
Yeah, they did eventually. But, I mean, I believe it's before this definition of cult classic, and they started getting the sequels, this was a cult classic before then.
I would say,
I mean, like, just
the
like
fact that it was on
Animal
SNL
House?
Animal House is a cult classic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Blues Brothers, like, it was based off of the SNL sketch, or they transcended it into different media and stuff like that. So that's where it got the broader audience, made it more popular.
True.
So that to me, like, takes away
but
that.
But then again, how many people still dress in those Halloween costumes?
It's one of the easiest ones to get dressed into. I mean,
a suit, a pork pie hat,
half a pack of smokes.
Yeah. You're golden.
Yeah.
Half a pack of smokes. You have to dump out half of them.
You have to. Or you take half of them and give them to the other person, and they just sort of wrap them in something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, just like looking at this list, it's weird. Like, some of them I could see... Night of the Living Dead, like, to me, that's something that's no longer... Maybe the original can be considered a cult classic, but anything zombie-related, that's a whole, like, genre. I don't know. All right. Well, I think that's probably pretty good. My mind is now a little bit worn from that, because it just...
Cult classics bending your mind, fucking with your brain.
That and like just like reading all the lists and stuff, it's, I don't know, I need a moment to myself. Bo, let me thank you for coming along. Anything you want to say to anybody listening out there about what we've talked about? Anything going on that you're looking forward to in life or any events like that? Have at her for a moment.
Figure you'd take this one second to be a little bit selfish, for a little bit of self-promotion, and for your guys' benefit, if you guys want to check out my photos of Ireland or New York City, I do have an Instagram.
Oh, yes, with the greatest handle ever.
Instagram handle is Cheesecake Sucks. I don't like cheesecake.
Yes.
I really don't like it. It's not spelled the way it's would be spelled in English normally. Cheese is spelled C-H-E-E-Z, then C-A-K-E, then S-U-K-S for sucks.
Mm-hmm.
All one word, all lowercase. If you want to go check it out, I've got my photos on there.
Oh, that...
There's some cool scenery.
I still like, I just flipped through the Instagram feed as I'm going through it, and I still, cheesecake sucks. Oh, all right. Mr. Murn, then. Anything you want to end the night on?
No, I think we've wrapped it up well. I think we defined cult classic, whether Google kind of thinks so or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Google, we're right.
I kind
screw
of
you,
agree.
Google.
I'm gonna agree with Bo on that one.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Murren. As we head on out, just once again, big thanks, Bo, for coming along.
Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. If you, the listener, enjoyed this, please tell your friends about us. We're also available on social media with Instagram and Twitter. The handle is at Jet Theory Radio. That's J-E-T-T Theory Radio. You can find us on the web at jettheoryradio.com. And we also have a Facebook page where you can come see just, you know, pretty much everything that's going on with us. Like it, share, subscribe to the YouTube channel that we got, tell all your friends about it. And you'll be able to tell your friends about us in other ways by wearing a fancy t-shirt that we'll soon have for sale up on the websites and internets and all that fun stuff. Or if you see us in person, if you're in the Austin area where we're located, since we're live from the ATX, please let us know you want a shirt. We'll get the sizes there for you from you and take care of things from there. And outside of that, I think it's time for James. James, please, let's end this.